It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
David Bowe's in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. And fittingly for the Fastest 15, just before the Independence Day holiday, we start with news about the Independence Day parade. Specifically, the Baby Trump balloon will be attending the Trump July 4th party. This is from Newser. I didn't know it was just Trump's July 4th party. I thought it was supposed to be a slightly larger party than that.
Like, I thought it was just supposed to be a celebration.
Yeah. I mean, I know people are fans.
America's party.
At times. Yeah, but it's got to go beyond the president of this. Even the president would have to concede it's not just about him.
I think it's just based on which news source you're hearing this information from.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that's one of the challenges of today. But Baby Trump will be there. And Baby Trump was made famous by protests in London where they have this giant balloon and it has a caricature of President Trump on it with diapers and he's got a big sneer on his face. But they are also outraged. Not the Trump fans that are outraged by the Baby Trump balloon, although that's possible. But those in Code Pink who've been assigned to bring the Trump balloon, the Baby Trump balloon, into the National Mall area to protest the parade, they are upset because it's not going to be in the line of sight of the president and they can't fill it with helium. It has to be with just cold air. And they are outraged by this, saying we should be able to have it in front of the president and we should get a special spot there and we should be able to put it full of helium because, after all, it's not going to be high enough to interfere with the planes, et cetera, the Blue Angels and fighter jets. Problem is, if you've got a huge thing full of helium, let's say somebody did let it go.
Then it
could interfere with something.
It could. And I also hear that there's a helium shortage in the country. Have you heard that?
I went and got
balloons the other day and they said, sorry, helium shortage.
I have felt guilty every time I get helium because helium is, there actually was a science story about the limited amount of helium. Plus, when it leaves, it leaves. I mean, it just keeps going up into space and it's gone. So unlike other resources, it's a little tougher. So anyway. That said, I feel like pricing will inform me when it's a real danger,
Right.
And so, balloon gets up to too much. I'm not going to buy one for my kid. Anyway, Baby Trump, the Baby Trump balloon only with cold air. That's what they're told. And they're very upset about this. Code Pink. Remember, Code Pink disappeared for a while during the Obama presidency because apparently war under President Obama wasn't nearly as offensive as war under other presidents who happen to have an R next to their name. But Code Pink, very principled on everything that they do. They're upset because Trump's giving a speech at the Lincoln Memorial. They requested a space on the large, empty expanse at the base of the Washington Monument, which would not have obstructed anyone's view, but would have allowed the president to see the baby. Instead, we were only given location options that are outside the line of sight.
Do they think he's never seen the baby? He knows it's there.
Exactly.
He got approved to be there.
Plus, here's the problem I have with the Trump balloon. It's not that, I don't care if somebody wants to protest the president, that's fine. That's an American thing to do, protest the president.
Dumb.
It is.
It's dumb.
It's the equivalent of people on Twitter I saw a video on Facebook, for example, the other day where a guy was kneeling near a Trump Tower in New York, and he was holding up his middle finger and trying to get his camera to capture the Trump Tower with the middle finger, and he thought, exactly. It's like a super cheap, lame, thoughtless kind of insult. So the Trump baby already had its day, and then you just keep doing it everywhere, and people act like, oh, but this time it's really funny because, oh, it's just so devastating. We've got him in a diaper. It doesn't do anything, doesn't say anything. It's just ugly, and it's out there. So come up with something new that actually is worthy of getting more attention and actually says something, right? I mean, the Trump baby says what? Says Trump is an emotional baby. Well, shock, newsflash. If you don't, know about the president's general attitude by now, you never will, And if you regardless of what your opinion is on the president, it's not going to shift by seeing the baby. So put something else, something new up there that shows a little bit of thought went into it rather than, but we just, we imported this stupid large balloon and we want to hold it in front of nobody wants to see that on the 4th of July anyway, frankly.
Agreed.
If you're upset about the president, just turn your back. Don't listen to the speech. Go watch some fireworks somewhere. Don't be so lame. Then we go to CNN, a column on their website. Trump makes the 4th of July parade for himself, according to John Kirby for CNN. To be fair, the president won't preside over anything as spectacular as the Bastille Day commemoration he attended in Paris a couple of years ago. No missile launchers, army tanks will roll down Pennsylvania Avenue. Then why is everybody so panicked about the fact that some tanks will be on display? You know what I mean? Like, as a little kid, I remember seeing stuff like that, and I thought it was really awesome. And basically, parades can get really boring unless you can find cool things to put in them. So, I mean, he has kind of a point.
I agree.
There.
I think this is silly. Although they've said there's some logistical issues, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody comes to him and says, "Eh, this isn't really going to work," probably won't happen. It's fine. But I do think, like, it's not a threat. Trump's not going to take the tanks out. Like, this is not a threatening thing.
It's not like he's going to see, you know, the code pink balloon. I order those tanks to turn around and knock that balloon out of the sky.
You know? Actually, that'd be kind of cool.
You'd finally have your impeachment grounds, you know. I mean, just calm it a bit. You know, when we start having the nuclear missiles on parade, like China or something, then I'll start, or Russia, I'll start to worry a bit. But as it stands, it's just kind of, I mean, look, on I-5, you can see from time to time the strikers, you know, going for training from JBLM to Eastern Washington. You know, I remember as a kid, I just thought it was the most fascinating thing to see any military equipment at all move. And I still find it fascinating. You're driving along, you see them, and it's like, wow, that's awesome. So, you know, just relax a little bit on the 4th of July. And then, hey, CNN. The parade hasn't even happened yet. You've got a columnist, basically the entire column is speculating on what the Trump speech might say and how it might be offensive and how it's really about making the 4th of July about himself. And that's it. It's like, shouldn't you like publish that after the event itself? I mean, when did it become okay to have that kind of, it's a pretty juvenile work. And so, you know, I mean, I know it's a column, so it's not part of the news, but still, it's a weak column right on the July 4th. So why don't you wait? You can publish that on Friday, and then we can talk about it on Friday when I'm there for Dory Monson, and Dory Monson enjoys the longer weekend for himself. That would be a plus. And finally, closing the Independence Day news, MSNBC has opted to not air, again, the headline from Politico, Trump's 4th of July celebration. Again, this is not Trump's 4th of July celebration. You might hate the guy, but it's not Trump's.
Well, he might have, even if it's his idea, I don't know. But still, it's
bogus.
Silliness.
It's a bogus way to cover it. It's like if taxpayer dollars are paying for this. So
I did hear that PBS is running a special that John Stamos is hosting. I might tune in.
I bet you would tune into the John Stamos. I mean,
made it very clear they are not covering Trump's speech.
No, I mean, we are. We're public television, so we will continue to suck up as much government money as possible. And by the way, I love public television. I watch more PBS probably than any other channel. I mean, definitely. I mean, who doesn't love Masterpiece Theater?
Yeah, you know? You seem like a PBS guy.
Jeez. Anyway, big fan, you know, but so, you know, come on, let's give it a rest here. By the way, I remember the Obamas were at a celebration recently, and I read how, well, the presidents usually keep a low profile on these days, and this is going to make it more partisan, I think, because a lot of presidents don't need to give a speech because other people give it for them. It's like every celebrity, you know, is a big fan of whoever the left-wing president is at any given time. But, you know, so Trump shows up, he's going to give a speech. It's not the end of the world. Let's see what he actually says. But MSNBC is not going to air it. Was anyone going to watch them anyway? I mean, if I were MSNBC, it's basically staked out the ground of we're the news agency for the left and they don't want to watch Trump. Although I would think that they would want to, you know, get angry about it and have some kind of live commentary during it. But apparently Rachel Maddow said, I really want the day off. You know, I'm sick of this. I want a 3-day weekend like Dory Monson. So that's what she's doing. So no, don't tune into MSNBC if you want to see the president's speech. And if you wanted to see the president's speech, the odds of you wanting to tune into MSNBC were pretty low to begin with. So, you know, if MSNBC, if this headline said MSNBC shutting itself off for the 4th of July, that would be okay too. You know, nobody would care at that point. All right. And then Miley Cyrus. Speaking of lighter, happy things. Remember when Miley Cyrus used to celebrate the USA and just be kind of an uplifting little spirit? Kind of a hip, fun song.
This is appropriate too. Party in the USA. We're having a party this week. With a dream, my cardigan. She just seems so happy in this
song. She does. You can't help it. Even if you don't really respect the music, you can't help but move a little bit to it and say, you know what? My mood's a little better. I'm having a little time. I'm having a good time. MSNBC's listening to this going, maybe we should air the Trump speech. What? Shut that off, right? So then, you know, Miley Cyrus gets a little older and she's like, you know what? I don't want to be a goody two-shoes forever. A serious artist is one that makes people feel miserable. I want to make sure that I'm as vulgar as possible. And then she had her kind of going out on the, well, I think the first hint we got of this was the whole I'm posing nude with my dad magazine spread. Remember that? Which, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they were on a motorcycle. It was weird.
It was super, super creepy.
It was very
yeah,
creepy.
Yeah. Achy breaky heart just didn't sound the same from that point on. But anyway, she got worse from there, and then she ended up doing some kind of bizarre, was that a music awards thing, or was that a, it was just a super freak show where it was a twerking fiasco. Let's put it that way. So now she's out. She's like, how do I top myself? I've got a new song, My Mother's Daughter. Mother's Daughter.
I'm really scared about playing this.
By the way, I'm scared too.
Maybe don't. Let's just stop it. We'll read some of it. I'm scared there's like in the background somewhere.
F on this, F on that. I'm just pressing. I'm pressing stop before the lyrics because there are some F bombs and
it's just uncomfortable.
It's hard to hear them because there's the.
I mean, you know, I did bleep them.
She's singing through the
computer. It's uncomfortable. It's a weird song.
It's angry all the
time. The video is creepy.
Basically, what happened was, I think Miley Cyrus was watching advertisements for American Horror Story, saw the advertisements where somebody's dressed in a, you know, S&M kind of super tight red costume. She's like, I want a video like that. I mean, that is just awesome. I'm so shocked and horrified. I'm going to make a video like that. So she dresses up in something that is supposed to be provocative and sexy. And instead,
what's that red outfit? It's just like the one Britney wore in her video.
Don't
so
you
it's weird.
Dare mention Britney in the same sentence as Miley Cyrus. That is just an insult to all things Britney. And I'm including shaved head Britney on that as well. This is a monstrosity. Britney's got more talent in her left pinky finger than Miley Cyrus, okay? All of Miley Cyrus, except for the Party in the USA.
Wow, I had no idea you were such a Britney fan.
Just defending Britney. I didn't say I was a fan of Britney. I'm just saying she's much better than Miley Cyrus.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, besides that, she's, you know, she's
I'm a fan.
I'm too, you know, Trouble Life. You know, I can't name her songs, but I know when I hear them, I think, huh, that's kind of fun.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
Ah, there we go.
Toxic.
You know, whatever. I don't know what it is, but sounds good to me. Anyway, so like I said, Miley Cyrus comes out with this. She sees the American Horror Story advertisement, says, I'm going to get every disturbing image from American Horror Story. I'm going to put it in this video, and I'm going to act like I'm making a bold statement about women's rights. And I'm just going to go on and on about how, you know what, sex is super awesome for me, and I just want to go get me some. And it's all about, you know, how cool I am, and better not get in my way, and don't F with my rights, and all kinds of stuff here. And then she poses with her mother, who looks like she's, I don't know, also from a horror film, kind of staring off in the distance. Nobody's having a good time. Everybody's depressed. She throws in some a number of cameo appearances by various people that also look deeply disturbed and absolutely miserable. And then she says, look at how sexy I am. And she writhes around on the floor and occasionally acts like, you know, something is severely itching her reproductive areas. And so you just want to, you know, send her to a doctor for some penicillin as fast as possible and just let her know that there are better days ahead. But instead, you're
That's
stuck.
That's a pretty accurate description of that video.
Yeah, you're watching. This thing lasts for 3 minutes. You know, she keeps trying to mack on basically everybody she meets in the video, including some poor, I can't tell if it's a woman or a man, or a woman who prefers to be a man, or a man who prefers to be a woman. But she's stuck with this person that looked like they escaped a Roger Miller film, a remake, a really bad remake of The Road Warrior. And she's trying to mack on this person. They also are uninterested. And so as you're watching this, you just think, you know what? If there's a problem with celibacy, they should show people this video, because by the end of it, you're willing to commit. She has, not since Eyes Wide Shut, has sexiness been less sexy. So it is an absolutely horrific video. And it's the kind of thing where it's perfect for her because now we're talking about it. But I'm not sure anybody's going to buy the album because it's just bad in every way. And you just look at it and you think, this is so sad. And then she has this part of the song where, like, my mom wanted me to make it, so I made it. I made it. Mom wanted me to make it, so I made it. And then she repeats it about 19 times, and you think, is this – so this song is basically – it's attacking Trump, but if you're upset about Trump's ego, it's kind of a song about her own ego. It's like, hey, you know what? We're going to attack Trump with a mini-Trump ego that's just obsessed with herself and really, 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 really wants to be a sex symbol.
Well, she in this song, yeah. She's very clear she wants to have sex all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
She's just, that's why she's there. It's to get me some on there. And as you watch that, you think, yeah, we're going to have to make a medical appointment before this happens. And we're going to have to wait for the screening test. All this
things
stuff.
She's yeah. wearing down there in the video don't make that a
They don't bode
idea.
Well. Yeah. No, if you were watching the movie Seven and you think about some of the, you know, more horrific deaths there, you know, looks a bit spiky. Let me put it that way. It looks like a porcupine makes a cameo, but not where you'd expect. Let me put it that way. So,
let's just bump out.
Yeah.
With right. the song.
What? Ah, happier days.
Because we like it.
Better times. Back when Miley Cyrus thought, when she was making music, she thought, you know what? I want to make people happy. And then somebody convinced her, no, music's designed
Remember
to make people
Hannah
miserable.
Remember Hannah Montana?
Sad. Sad times. Someday, she's going to run out of shocking ideas, and she's going to realize, huh, nobody cares about me anymore.
Anyway.
Maybe I'll try and make people happy again. Maybe she'll be successful again. I hope so.
You know who we do care about? Hannah Scott. She's coming in next.
Can't wait. Not Hannah Montana. Hannah Scott.
Hannah Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Cairo Radio Zone. She'll be back.
Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. David Bowes filling in for Dory, who will be on an exotic vacation for the, I guess, foreseeable future. I'm very envious of him. But launching you into this Independence Day is some good news. At least that's what the city of Seattle says. They're going to launch a new safe vehicle lot program to help the homeless. Yes, they're cutting back on parking lots for you, but expanding them for the homeless here. Cairo Radio's Hannah Scott is here with the details. Hannah?
So the mayor had included $250,000 in this year's budget for a safe lot parking idea. Originally, the plan had been to use it for a safe lot for three vehicles at Genesee Park, but that drew mixed reaction at a meeting back in March.
I'm worried about homeless people dying because people died without shelter.
People don't belong sleeping in cars, and there's other solutions. For $250,000, you can put people in housing.
Now, in the end, the city scrapped that plan, but now there's a new plan to use that $250,000 to partner with faith-based organizations for a new safe lot pilot program that will basically scatter up to 30 safe spots around the city. Lily Rarin is with the city's Human Services Department, and she says the rollout's going to be smaller than 30 spots, with just a handful of spots at a single church, Our Redeemer's Lutheran in Ballard.
To give some funding towards their existing program, the funding will allow them to consistently serve 7 households per night, whereas currently they're serving between 2 or 3 households per night.
So that's 7 spots for cars and household is, you know, sometimes families living in each car, things like that. So 7 of the 30 spots are going to be at this Ballard Church where they already had a few spots. Now, from there, the idea is...
From here, we, the Human Services Department and the Department of Neighborhoods with the City of Seattle, are interested in speaking with other faith communities that may be interested in adopting a similar model and hosting people living in their cars on their property.
So this model is based on similar programs in California that have been successful. It'll work like this. The church will partner with the Urban League, which will provide case management services, and they'll set up a code of conduct for anybody who's living in this lot.
A code of conduct that all participants need to agree to in order to participate in the program. One of the main requirements of the code of conduct is that anyone participating in these programs must be working actively with case management services to be looking for housing. And that's one of the reasons why we are so pleased to partner with Our Redeemers and also the Urban League, because they've really shown success in helping people that have been living in their cars move to permanent housing.
It sounds like, I mean, there's different categories of homelessness. I mean, there are people that are temporarily homeless. A lot of those individuals end up couch surfing. But if you're out in a place and you moved out to Washington State to get a job and you lost your job, then if you don't have that social network of friends and family, you have no one to rely on. That's how families end up in cars. And they don't have an emergency fund, say, to fall back on. The economy is really good right now. There's a lot of jobs out there for people, but not necessarily one that's going to get you in housing in Seattle.
Sure, right? Or anywhere near Seattle, for that matter.
Yeah. Is there any when they talk about setting people up with housing, is it always within the city limits of Seattle? Or do they say, hey, look, you know, there are jobs elsewhere, and the cost of living is less elsewhere?
And so there are a huge amount of programs that the city of Seattle has. And when we talk about housing, so they do something called rapid rehousing. So if it's something like you're talking about where somebody's just lost a job and that's what got them out, they can quickly get them like a one-time payment to help them get back into housing. But they also have other things. One of the efforts that they do is they look for people who maybe don't have family here, but maybe they do somewhere else. That's another big thing that's picking up a lot of traction these days. And they call, you know, maybe there was a falling out or something with that family member, and so the caseworkers will then try to bridge that gap, mend that fence, and see if that person can't go and end with family members. So there's a lot of those outside efforts, not specifically with this program, but it's something that the city does on a whole.
The challenge when addiction enters the fray is most people, you know, when you're suffering through an addiction, you're burning all the bridges, all your social friends, you've stolen from them, more than once. That's right. So, you know, those folks have had to cut you off in order to survive. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a friend of mine described it as the principle of on an airplane, when the masks drop down, they say, put your mask on first.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, when you're trying to help somebody, you put your life jacket on first. Otherwise, they'll just suck you under. You know?
Yes.
So it's a similar kind of thing. So I don't blame people for not wanting this in their neighborhoods, because I'd be very suspicious that the city, based on the politics of the city, when they say, hey, we're going to have this great conduct and we're going to require people to be in these services, we're going to do this and that. You know, the city doesn't seem to be willing to enforce their other rules. Why would I think that they would enforce that one?
So, and a couple of things to remember about this particular program. So, first of all, this is not on city-owned property, which is what the original plan had been. This is at a church, and we'll see what other churches maybe come forward and try to take part. This particular church in Ballard already had a setup of 7 spaces. They just didn't have the ability to keep them full because they didn't have the case management type stuff available. So this money from the city will go simply to the Urban League to help with that case management of people. And now we'll have all 7 of those spots filled with the car. And a couple of things. One, they have to deal with this code of conduct. So things they'll have at this church, the church will let them inside for showers, bathrooms, kitchen, things like that. In the winter months, they can come in and stay out of the cold. They'll also be able, they have to have their vehicles have to work. And they have to have car tabs, so they have to be. And they said in this situation,
it wants their cut,
right?
So, you know, like homeless people, Sound Transit wants to make sure they get paid.
In this particular model, they also say that people who are working or maybe getting a disability check of some sort are really the prime kind of people that they're trying to help her, not people so far back and under that are dealing with massive issues that they can't help them in this situation.
The low-hanging fruit, so to speak.
Yeah, because the goal is to get them rehoused very quickly.
And I don't mean that in a facetious way. I mean, literally, there are categories of homeless people that are far easier to help than others. And the ones that they're talking about here are among the easiest to help if they stick to that. Now, I remember that there was a study done recently in Seattle where they went through and were trying to figure out which organizations were more successful at actually helping people than others. And I don't recall where the Urban League fell on that score.
And I don't off the top of my head.
I was wondering, I mean, are they actually really successful at that?
I believe they are, because I think over the past 6 months, they've actually already been working with the couple of spots this particular church had been working, and they've been able to, the numbers were really good as getting people into housing and out of that lot. Now, for the church's part, I should point out, they are saying that that's not their goal. They'll let people stay there for however long they want. But the goal of the city in getting involved with this type of partnership is to get people to turn and burn, right? Let's get them a place to stay, get them their case management, get them out of the car and back into some housing.
You know, somewhat ironically, the church's attitude is exactly why I think a lot of people get worried about that in their neighborhood. Is if you're saying, hey, look, stick around forever, you know, then all of a sudden people are thinking, what's that RV going to look like after? Because cars are meant to be driven.
Yes.
And you know, eventually it's going to look as dilapidated as certain streets in Seattle where you have strange, decrepit RVs. And I know the city says, oh, they got to be working. Well, we also say that there's no trespassing and no camping in public spaces. And what do we do with that? So
here's an important point I want to make in this entire program, this pilot program, both at this church and any other churches that get on board.
This pilot does not provide RV support. It is just for folks that are living in cars.
So no solution on the RV situation.
No. I was mistaken. I was thinking of an RV that would count as a car. This is car only.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is, one, we've tried that a couple of times in the city and it's failed miserably. Mm-hmm. There was the one that Ed Murray did that was like $35,000 a month, and it really didn't help people get into housing that much because they didn't really want to work with case management. They just wanted a place to park. You know, it is like a home to them. They can keep their stuff there, do what they want, use drugs and alcohol, whatever it is they want to do. The sense is, and this is a theory they're trying to test with this pilot program, is what the city told me, is that people living in cars are probably newer to homelessness and going to be more willing to engage with case management, which was not what they were seeing when they tried to help with the RV lot.
Well, I hope that they are dealing with other areas, because whenever I read about Seattle and especially the hardcore activists to say, well, you know, we need this in downtown Seattle, I think, well, you know, I'd love to live in Medina or maybe Mercer Island, but I can't afford either.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it were me, I'd be focused on trying to find a place that I could stay and work and live and raise my kids, if that was the case, in a place that I could afford and start getting back on my feet again. And also get them a free subscription to some Dave Ramsey stuff. look, there's plenty of Americans that could use that.
Yes.
Heck, every Christmas you read about how people still owe money from the last Christmas.
Yes.
Not casting stones there. I'm saying literally good idea for them. Hey, thanks so much, Hannah. I hope I genuinely hope the project works. But as is the case with all things in Seattle, I have my suspicions, have my doubts.
Time will tell.
That's right. Yeah. And I hope we actually have a list of who was successful. I mean, last time around, I can't believe I don't even remember the old survey. We had a survey of the most successful. Are we actually using the most successful now, or, you know, whatever?
And I believe that's the idea. Yeah. And they've really done a lot of work in better watching and judging the performance metrics, putting performance metrics in place for pretty much every level, when we're navigation team to the various providers that work with the city on homelessness. And I believe that's the goal, is to work with the ones that work.
Good. And I think if they do limit it, if they do keep the behavior tight, I think they'll find more faith organizations are willing to help. Also, note Seattle, you actually do need some parking lots. You know, not only do you need them for this, but other people need them for economic mobility as well. People who aren't necessarily homeless, but all of a sudden they want to move up the economic ladder. And I know you have all these great ambitions for your public transportation system. However, people who want to be economically mobile still absolutely have to have their cars. And they will need that, by your own numbers, for the next several decades. So start thinking about that. Instead of being at war with individual transportation, start thinking about it as an economic friend. David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. A Nevada state trooper had the nerve to pull a guy over in the carpool lane just because his passenger wasn't sitting in the passenger seat.
Well, that wasn't why.
The passenger was secured, laying down in the back of the vehicle.
He wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
Well, that's true. He was not wearing a seatbelt. However, he was safe from harm. Totally. Now, this individual was driving along in a carpool lane in Nevada and was in a hurry to get from point A to point B. The Nevada Highway Patrol trooper notices that he didn't see anybody in the passenger seat, so he pulls him over. And then the driver says, well, doesn't that guy count? Pointing to the guy in the back. And the state trooper says, you know, look, no. Yeah, technically it's a person, you know, it's okay, but... but still.
All right, Trooper Smack, Nevada Highway Patrol. You got your registration and insurance as well.
And a deceased in the back.
Oh, you got a deceased in the back? So you're a funeral home?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll go ahead and give you a warning today, but I'm going to warn you, we're working the HOV lanes pretty heavy today, okay?
You won't count.
He's not with us anymore. For that, I'll give you a warning on that, all right? Just make sure, too, in the future, if you can't get to the right, because right now...
Oh, man. First of all, what a great attitude that this cop has. I mean, he seems really friendly.
Sense of humor about it.
Because the guy is basically pointing to the dead guy in the back saying, hey, come on, you know, I've got a guy here. But also...
Why doesn't he count, by the way?
Well, that's what I was wondering, too.
Two people.
Like, well, there's two people, and, you know, it's not like the carpool lane says two people that, you know, I mean, the dead guy had a place to get to, right? I mean, he had to move him somewhere.
Right.
It's not just freight. So, you know, it seems like you should have given him a full pass on that with no warning.
Well, he only got a warning, so I don't feel bad.
No, I mean, I don't feel bad for him, but at the same time...
And I think he knew.
Yeah, like... I've used the carpool lanes on off. I mean, it's kind of exciting now because.
So I do know a couple people in this building that use the carpool lanes on a regular basis because they figure if they get a ticket once every 20 times they use the carpool lanes illegally, it's worth it.
I know that feeling well, and I would be very tempted to do the same thing.
But you don't. I knew you didn't because you have too guilty of conscience.
That's actually true. Yes. But I can use it all the time now because whenever I leave the house, I've got at least one kid with me, right? So I got the kids in the car, and I do feel a tinge of guilt using the carpool lane even with the kids.
Because most of the time you say, hey, give me a kid so I can have the carpool lane.
Oh, no.
So that kid doesn't necessarily need to be in the car with you.
No, that's not how it works at all. We got three toddlers at home, so my wife's like, you're taking a kid. Maybe all three. You know, so that's how that works. But I've got the kids, plus I just enjoy their company. They're funny. However, I feel a little guilt because I know that I'm not actually taking another vehicle off the road, and I know the point of carpool is supposed to be get other vehicles off the road. But
do not feel guilty.
A little guilty there.
No. The point is to take two people and transport them, and you're doing that.
Well, yeah, but I'm not actually moving other vehicles off the road.
Fine.
That's the point. Anyway, so good. The dead guy didn't count. So let that be a lesson to those of you driving hearses.